The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boom.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Let's bring Mike Reese into the conversation. Mike, because you had a piece on ESPN.com that suggested that looking ahead, the Patriots offense might actually be better without Tom Brady. What in the world does that mean?
Well, Greeny, you know, talking to people around the Patriots, there's an acknowledgement that it's going to be hard to match what they had at quarterback with Tom Brady, arguably, the greatest of all time. But the thought process is that if they can just get solid play at the quarterback position and then improve in several other areas, the totality of the offense could be more efficient.
Oh, Mike Reese today. I love the way he put that. The totality of the offense could be more efficient. And even the first way that he said, like, there is acknowledgement when you talk to people around the team that it'll be hard to match what they had at quarterback last year. Like, they grudgingly admit that Tom Brady's better than Jared Stidham.
Yeah, no, that's a sacrifice.
You know what I mean? It's like, they acknowledge that going from Tom Brady to Brian Hoyer may be a step down. We'll grant you that. But if everything else improves, the totality of the offense could be more efficient. Big Jim Murray, with Jared Stidham or Brian Hoyer, is there any scenario under which the totality of the Patriots offense will be more efficient this year than last?
Can I say maybe?
Oh, go ahead.
Maybe. Well, look, I mean, like, as much as I'm a Brady Bobo, it was pretty clear he was not going to work with these young guys. He had little to no trust with the likes of N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers. And Myers himself said late in the season he was afraid to disappoint Brady, like, have drops. So I think the kid played tight. Well, I think he just might be just a guy. I don't know. I think there's going to be more comfort for some of these players. So maybe they're able to, you know, death by a thousand paper cuts and move the ball down the field that way. And, you know, you'll get a little bit more out of these guys that Brady didn't trust last year because they'll be a little more loose. So maybe. We'll
Maz,
see.
Could the totality of the Patriots offense be more efficient without Tom Brady?
Yes.
I agree.
Yep. It can. Absolutely. And look, I said this a few weeks ago, if you remember when we talked about it. Now, you want to say to me, does that mean they're going to score more points per game than they did with Brady? Nope. It doesn't mean that. But it means that relative to what they have on the field, will the pieces work better together? Can they function better as a unit? Will there be more, you know, synergy, if you want, whatever word you want to use? I mean, chemistry. To me, absolutely. There was a lack of chemistry on that offense. Now, do I think they're going to average 30 points a game? No, I don't. I don't think they're going to get anywhere close. I think the 2019 Patriots are going to outscore the 2020 Patriots. But I think there's a good chance, or at least a pretty good chance, that the offense will look better than it did at the year, end of the year. And I think the second half of the season in particular is huge because you allow Stidham to get 8 games under his belt and work with guys that want to work with him and vice versa. Sure, yes, it could look a hell of a lot better than it did a year ago.
Leave it to Mr. Tufts to be far more eloquent than I could ever be. That's the way to put it. I think there will be better chemistry for the offense this year.
Okay, but will that result in a better offense?
So no, I mean, necessarily, no.
So, I mean, it's how you define it, and that's why I think Reese parses his words there.
No question. He chose those words carefully.
But efficiency
is a good word because I think the offense last year was, particularly at the end, inefficient. It just, it wasn't working right. And so now I think that because Stidham is sort of more on the same level as N'Keal Harry and Myers in particular, and I focus on those guys, I think there's a better chance that they'll all sort of be in the same place.
So what's going to frustrate me is the number of fans who are going to come around and say, yeah, the offense can be as efficient or more efficient or in some ways be better without Tom Brady. Where, again, I'd raised that to you last year. I mean, I felt this way for some time. The difference between me and you is I said it last year when Tom Brady was still here. Well, if I said it to you last year, and I did say it, that I think Bill Belichick would still win the division with Jared Stidham or Brian Hoyer. I said that last year. You said, you looked at me like I was from Mars or something. But now you all come around to it, and that's going to frustrate me. Johnny come latelys. It's easy to say it now when that's your only option. But, you know, I agree on the point thing. Last year, the Patriots, in 16 games, scored 420 points, 26.3 a game. That ranks 7th in the league. So they rank 7th in the league in points scored. I'd be stunned if they match that, okay?
Agreed.
I don't feel that. But Maz looked this up a couple weeks ago, and if you look at points scored in the second half of the year, the Patriots actually ranked 21st. They got fat. Their numbers got fat in that first half of the year. They started again. I keep forgetting. Were they 10-0? Whatever they were? 9-0?
No, they were 8-0.
So, I mean, they just rolled through the first half of that schedule and rolled, you know, and it, early on, their offense looked good. Like the season opener against Pittsburgh, they were firing on all cylinders and they were putting up points and blowing teams out in the first half of the year. So they got fat on that. In the second half of the year, it dried up and they were a bottom third team on offense in the last half of the year. So can they be better than the Patriots were in the second half last year on offense? Hell yeah. Can they score more points in the second half this year than they scored in the second half? I'm sorry, second half of the season I'm talking about than last year? Yes, I do believe they can be without Tom, from going from Tom Brady to Jared Stidham or even Brian Hoyer. I do believe that.
I mean, look, I don't know what your expectations are in the big picture in terms of ranking, but I can tell you what I am. If they finish in the top half of the league in scoring points, and I'm talking about the offense, right? Not the defense getting all kinds of returns like they did at the beginning of the year and all that other stuff. But if the offense at the end of the year is an above average offense, that's a win. That's a win. That's pretty good. I mean, you know, look, I'd even go so far as to say with a inexperienced quarterback or Brian Hoyer, depending on how you dial it up, if they were to come in 15th, I might give them a nod on that one, given what their schedule is and everything else.
I'm going to want them sniffing top 10. I'm going to want them right around the 10th highest scoring team in the league is what I'm going to want.
So that's why I say top half of the league. I mean, to me, I'll give them 12th. Like, I'm not going to bust their balls over that.
Right.
But to me, I think there's a chance that they could be, if they finish in the top half of the league in offense, I think that's pretty good.
Okay. So Reese was on a panel this morning on ESPN when he said that the, you know, while they acknowledge reluctantly, probably, that going from Tom Brady to Jared Stidham or Brian Hoyer is a drop-off at the quarterback position. They acknowledge that. They do believe, the Patriots do believe, the totality of the offense could be more efficient without Tom Brady. So that's not Reese's opinion. That's Reese's reporting.
Right.
He's telling you what they're saying out in Foxborough.
He's the mailman.
So this is how Belichick feels. So when you hear guys push back against Reese, it's not, don't push back against Mikey. He's just delivering the news. The mailman, as Maz just said, he's just telling you what he's hearing out there. His buddy, our buddy, Rob Ninkovich, politely disagreed with Mike Reese. Go give me Rob Ninkovich.
Mike Reese, I love you, but I mean, I just can't agree with that. The Patriots are better off without Tom Brady. Look, you had a Hall of Fame quarterback for a very long time, and in the quarterback position, if you have a great quarterback, their job is to make everybody better. Their job is to check the offense into the best possible play against the defense. And you talk about throwaways, that just means that nobody was open and the quarterback was doing the smart thing and throwing the ball away. You get into a situation with a young quarterback, he might try and force the situation. And the number one way to lose in the NFL is turnovers. So if you don't take care of the football and you don't throw the ball away in the situations you're supposed to throw the ball away, you create turnovers, you throw the ball away and it's intercepted, or you throw it into coverage, it's intercepted. Look, that's how you lose, and that's losing football. So it's hard for me to think that the Patriots are going to be better without Tom Brady. Okay, you talk about running the football. Yeah, if you're not playing from ahead and you don't have the lead, you can't just run the football over and over and over again. You have to play from ahead to run the football. So it's just, I don't think the Patriots are in a better place without Tom Brady.
Okay, politely disagrees. And it's part of Mike Reese's answer was that Tom Brady had a crap ton of throwaways last year because he didn't trust his receivers. They weren't on the same page. He gave up on plays. And this is me paraphrasing. It's not how Mike, you know, Mike doesn't speak with that tone. So that was part of it that, you know, with maybe someone who can move a little bit or trust his receivers and is more on the same page with them, that you won't have as many just dead plays, throwaway plays. And Ninkovich's point is, well, no, the danger is that he throws it to the other team, which Brady did not do. He threw it away a lot, but he didn't throw it to the other team. And that's the risk with Jared Stidham is.
I mean, I think it's the biggest question. I know you've made the point of, well, how many games did Brady win him last year? Well, not that many, but he didn't blow many either. I mean, and that's the thing is Brady plays error-free, and he's played error-free from the day he set foot in the league. The guy just didn't make back-breaking mistakes. And so I think that this is the biggest question about Stidham or Hoyer or whoever else. You got to put him in there, and if it's not there, don't force it. Throw the ball on the ground. And like you said, I think you said this yesterday, either get some points or get the ball to the punter.
Get the ball to the punter.
Right, one or the other. So, you know, nothing in between. And I still think if Stidham comes in somewhere around, you know, 17, 18 touchdowns, 11 or 12 picks, that's a huge win for the Patriots. They'll be okay.
Ooh, that low?
Yep, because I don't think that – I don't think they're going to rely on him to make big plays. I think they're just going to rely on him to keep it steady and don't screw it up.
So wait a minute. 17 touchdown passes is going to be good – wait a minute. I just got to look this up here because I got my stat page up. I can actually do this. If he threw 17 touchdowns last year, that ranks – it would have tied him in 27th place in the league with guys such as Mitch Trubisky, Kyle Allen, who actually had a few good games, Andy Dalton, Murray's guy. Those guys, Dalton had 16, and Allen and Trubisky had 17. You want – no, it's got to be more than that.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. Maybe I'm going with old numbers, okay? Because, again, to me, in my mind, I sort of think of a game manager on a team that's going to be conservative and run the ball as like 17, 18 touchdown passes. If I said 22 and 13, would that make you feel better? Or 23
and 12? Yes. I'm just counting. 19 guys threw 20 touchdown passes last year. 19. Okay, so he's got to be in that group. I'm sorry.
Okay, so I don't think you're going to see 27 touchdown passes. Is all I'm telling you. So if you want me to make the number 20, and I'll give you 20 and 12 or 20 and 13, fine. Something in that area, as long as, to me, the bigger thing is that ratio. And I said this, typically you're looking for 2-1, Mike, right? Yep. TD to interception. And even in this day and age, you're looking for more than that. I think if Stidham comes in 1.5 or better, he's doing okay.
Yeah, no, it's the ratio. I agree. But they need more points out of the passing game than 17 touchdowns. You know, I said 19 guys threw 20. It's really 23 because four guys threw 30. So, you know, 23 quarterbacks last year threw at least 20 touchdown passes. I'm sorry. I need Stidham or Hoyer in that group.
Yeah, they got to. It's good. 20 is the baseline.
Thank you. All right, so we continue. Add that to the list. Can the Patriots, again, I want to quote Mike Reese accurately, can the totality of the Patriots offense be more efficient than it was last year without Tom Brady? Add that to the list with this pansy polling that we've got going on from The Athletic as well. Back to you right after this.
Duggar Fast. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Did they say it?
Oh, I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Man, I think everybody on here is being extremely nice to the Patriots. No, they not gonna be better. They didn't go out to get better. It's still the same wide receivers. And I understand that you say you can be a run-first team, but they had this stable of running backs last year. This team is not going to be better without Tom Brady. He's the greatest quarterback that's ever played, and even he couldn't make this offense go last year. And I think that when I look at Jarrett Stidham, I remember going into his last year at Auburn, they said that this guy could possibly be a first-round pick, and they would be Mel Kiper, Todd McShay. They said he had that type of talent. The two things I remember about Jarrett Stidham are when I watched him play LSU, he threw an interception to a great safety named Grant Delpit from the LSU Tigers. And then when they put him in the game against the New York Jets late in the game, he threw another interception to a great safety from LSU named Jamal Adams. So either they need to go out and get defenders that played for LSU to play wide receiver for the New England Patriots to be better at that position, or they are going out of their minds to think that losing Tom Brady in any way could make you a better team.
That's how the Patriots feel. Again, Ryan Clark on ESPN. And he's not, he's saying Mike Reese, there's no way Mike Reese. Mike Reese said the Patriots believe that they could be better without Tom Brady, or the totality of the offense would be more efficient, was exactly what he said. Ryan Clark's arguing with Mike Reese, but he shouldn't be arguing with Mike Reese. That's not Mike Reese's opinion. He's telling you that's what the Patriots believe, the people he's talked to in New England and on the Patriots believe they can be more efficient without Tom Brady. And that's a whopper. It's a hard one to compute, but I've seen it before. I've lived it. You know, I mean, as a hot take artist. You know, they trade Randy Moss, and you all say, well, how do you get better by trading Randy Moss? Well, you do. How do you get better going from Randy Moss to Deion Branch? The first guy's one of the greatest receivers of all time, and Deion Branch is just a nice player, but, you know, really in the grand scheme of things, nothing special. And how do you get better? How do you go from such a talented guy to such a relatively untalented guy, comparatively, and get better as a team? You just do. It's the sport. It happens. It can happen. And it doesn't happen in every case. But I've seen it happen on this team. And we've all seen it in a lot of different positions. Quarterback, maybe it's different. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But don't tell me we haven't seen it where they lose a guy and replace him with someone you don't think is good. And we all say, well, how can you possibly be better when you go from this guy to that guy? And then they end up going from this guy to that guy, and they end up being better. We've seen it a million times, haven't we?
It's a sport where chemistry really matters. And as much of a Moss guy as I was, I mean, that had burnt itself out at that point, and that was a more cohesive unit once he was gone, and they brought Branch back in.
So,
I mean,
go ahead.
Yeah, this is one of those things. Would anyone have guessed that they'd have been better with Brady over Bledsoe in 2001? I mean, Mike, you did.
Yeah, I did, actually.
Okay, but you were in the minority. So I look at it. See, I think Ryan Clark misses the point, and I think he misses it on multiple levels. Like, he looks at it purely in the context of Tom Brady's a better player than Jarrett Stidham. And it wasn't just about Brady last year. It was about a lot of things. So David Andrews is going to be back. Maybe Isaiah Wynn plays better. Maybe the right side of the line is better. Like, to me, I just think that it's an oversimplification to put it all on Brady in the first place, let alone the chemistry he had with the receiving core, the buy-in, all of that. Like, to me, you start all over again with a new guy back there, and it's going to look different, and it absolutely could be more efficient.
Okay, so we'll talk about that. Our main point is this Athletic poll where they asked, is there someone to blame for Brady's departure? And 69% of their respondents said, nope, it was just time to move on. No bad guy, which we find absolutely preposterous. How could you have that kind of divorce and not say someone was responsible? That is just ridiculous. So we're running our own poll on Twitter and here on the phones. John in Connecticut, go ahead, place your vote.
Hey, so I actually am calling because I'm not really sure how Mass could sit there and say that it's Brady's fault when back in February, I think it was all of you guys saying that if Brady comes back at a cheaper contract that he can take, that he can get anywhere else, he'd have no spine and he'd be spineless. So, I mean, you can't have it both ways, Mass. But on top of that, I also just want to say that it looks like the Crafts have done an incredible job of really keeping the stink off of them completely.
They did.
Based on this poll. And then I also want to add that I think it's probably because of you guys, I'm going to have to actually kind of see, add like another 4 hours of football on Sundays. So if I end up divorced, I'm going to blame the media, because I think that's who the vote should really kind of go to.
Yeah, that's fine. You can blame the media. At least you're blaming someone. At least you're not saying it's meant to be, which is just complete poppycock. Boy, Robert Kraft is skating just how they wanted it, right, Mez?
Absolutely. I mean, he did. He positioned himself well on this thing to make it clear that Brady asked for free agency and that it was going to be Bill's decision, and he did. He insulated himself very well.
I mean, based on both polls, he is just not even considered, really, by anybody.
Okay, we'll give you our results here in a second. Brandon in Boston. Go ahead, Brandon.
How are you guys doing? I've been getting my phone call out.
So, Brandon, I love you, man. You call all the time, but that phone is just...
Let me put a sock in my mouth before I call.
No, you didn't like that call. What was wrong with that call?
Let me grab these napkins here and put them in my mouth.
I call it like Brandon. Do you don't like Brandon?
Yes, I am. I want to wait on a poll. I want to wait on a poll. I'm home for free.
I'm going to give you one chance, Brandon. Hold it like a pizza. Speak
up. Brandon, hold it like a pizza.
Brandon, hold it like a pizza. Go.
Right now. Can you hear me?
Go. Yes, go.
All right. So I just want to say, you know, most quarterbacks won't accomplish anything that Tom Brady accomplished. He did everything that he could do. He brought championships beyond championships, all right? And let's not forget about Michael Jordan. He brought championships beyond championships with Chicago. There's with nothing else to do, he had to move on for a new challenge. So this has to do with Brady, because Brady knows Bill Belichick's been a hard ass since he got there. This is Brady's decision to leave.
Okay, fine. So blame someone. But, you know, you bring up Jordan. Was Jordan meant to be?
No.
Hey, egomaniacal, you know, elf running the thing that had a personality conflict with the coach, and they blew the whole thing up too early. You know, look, I mean, when Wayne Gretzky retired, it was meant to be. It was done. John Elway in the last year in Denver walking away, that was meant to be. Like, sometimes it is meant to be. Jordan was not meant to be. He still had more basketball left in him, and they still had a chance to run in another couple championships. But it blew up because of personality and ego and maybe money again, that whole thing. So that doesn't mean it's meant to be. That means you left something on the table. It's not always meant to be, folks. It's not always meant to be. Sometimes someone's to blame. Sometimes someone grows a certain way in the wrong way, and the next thing you know, you can't keep it together. And that's not the way it's meant to be. And that's what I think this is. Brady's still a top quarterback. You're still contending for Super Bowls, and he's in Tampa. How was that meant to be? Chris in Maine. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, I would like to vote that it was Bill Belichick's fault, even though Brady made the final decision. And I would take it back to the Eagles Super Bowl when we were being picked apart by a second-string quarterback, and we had one of our best defenders not on the field. After that game, that's when Brady stopped going to the non-compulsory workouts and things like that.
I'd
like to make one.
No,
Chris,
yeah, but thanks for the call. I'm just going to stop you there. We've heard this so many times. It's wrong. Was Brady pissed they lost the game? Of course. Would he have liked Malcolm Butler to play like everybody else to see if they could have stopped the Eagles in the second half with a better player out there? Of course. That's not why he skipped OTAs and took one foot out the door. He took one foot out the door because that was the offseason where the rubber really met the road on the contract and he realized he wasn't getting one. And that's what happened. It starts with the contract and it kind of ends with the contract. There's other factors, but that's number one with a bullet. And that's when he realized the Pats were not going to commit to him financially. They were not going to commit to him with the contract that he wanted. And that's when he started putting one foot out the door. That's where it started, not with Malcolm. Malcolm Butler didn't help. But it started with the contract, Maz. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the problems were there before. The problems were there before that. Again, when was the Wickersham story?
So it was that offseason. It was that January.
Yeah.
Okay, right. So again, you know, before the Super Bowl was even played is when the Wickersham story came out.
Right.
So there were already cracks there, and I say cracks, you know, major ones,
okay,
major
but,
breaks.
But, Maz, all the cracks could have been sealed, or at least covered up. If they'd given him 2 years, $50 million guaranteed like Drew Brees got.
It was that correct contract from that offseason. That, you know, there was the fire. That was the gasoline on the fire.
Belichick's the one most recent. And Robert does skate because, you know, and it's not just Robert. If you could tell any NFL owner, don't sign him to this contract, it's too much money, the owner's going to say, okay, yeah, I'm following the lead of my coach. He thinks we shouldn't sign him. So like, that's an easy one for an owner not to hand over $50 million guaranteed. But that's why Bill's most responsible. He's the one that didn't want to sign him to that contract.
Yeah, look, you want to hold the team accountable. To me, the big mistake was then. Again, if they had given him that two-year deal then everything would have been fine, and they'd still have him here, for crying out loud. So, you know, to me, that was a critical point in time. But let's not think that there wasn't some aggravation, you know, before Malcolm Butler, because there was. It was a lot of it.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts after Big Jim Murray's update here. Don't go anywhere.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores. .org/Noah
Felger and Maz.
Wow.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Mostly football today with these items of polling there on The Athletic, our own Twitter poll. Mike Reese saying today that, according to the people he's talked to in Foxborough, meaning the Patriots themselves, believe they can be a more efficient offense next year without Tom Brady. Which I think is a borderline whopper of a report. It's not just someone saying, I think they can be better. It's, you know, one of the most embedded Patriots reporters saying the Patriots believe they're going to be better. That's a big difference to me. So we're talking about that. But I do just want to update people on the baseball. There was a developing report. Bob Nightingale, who's one of the key guys there covering baseball for USA Today. Murray's been mentioning this in his updates. Just give it to me again, Murray. What's he been saying?
Yeah, that Rob Manfred may have no choice but to implement the 50-game regular season if both sides, the owners and the players, can't come together.
Yeah, you know, this has been clear to me now for about a week that this is just where the owners are. Because basically the owners have delivered now three different proposals. They're all the same bottom line. They're all the same amount of money going out. Maz mentioned the number, in fact, last, would you say $1.5 billion?
Yeah, it's a little less than that, but that was, yeah. The general premise was that they have their dollar figure, and how the players earn it is up to them. And I had said 1.5 at the time. I think it actually comes out to closer to 1.2 or 1.3. But I think they have it in their head what the players, you know, salaries are worth collectively this year under the circumstances, and they're not budging from it.
And they haven't. They've given them three different offers, just packaged different ways. You know, 82 games with 60% reduction. You can play, the last one was 76 games with 75% salary reduction, or we go 50 games with 100% salary. And it's like, but it all nets out to the same amount.
Correct.
You know, and playoff revenue and debt, like they've all been the same, just repackaged. So this is, you know, to me, the fail-safe was always 50 games. You get to keep your prorated salary. We'll see it for spring training. And now it's going to be up to the players whether they want to strike or not. And talk about a bad look in the middle of a pandemic and all of this for the players to actually strike over this. But that's where I think we're at. That's where I think we've been for about a week, Maz.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. At the end of the day, what has to happen here is Manfred has to decide, do I actually want to do this? And am I going to implement this on my own and give the players the finger? And at this stage, I don't see why he shouldn't.
Okay.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, so the players, you know, their proposal yesterday, do you think that moved the needle a little bit, Maz?
Sure. Yeah, a little bit. I mean, they came down on the number of games, but I think that if you look at it and you say, well, the owners were at 76 games in their last proposal. The players now came back at 89. And again, they want full proration of salaries, right? So they want to be paid for 89 games in full. And split the difference. What's the number? 82. So, you know, from the beginning when they were talking about an 82-game schedule, the players were saying, well, we want full proration of the salaries at 82. So they're trying to make the owners now feel like 82's a deal. And the owners don't want to go to 82. They don't want to do that. And again, I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying to do it without picking one side or the other here. Where's the movement from the players? I'm not telling you the owners have moved a lot either, okay. But the players haven't moved either.
So
you know what? If for some reason Manfred doesn't seem willing to push the button and say, that's it, 50 games, this is what you get, end of story. Just push the button, and maybe he has to show good faith so that, you know, maybe this is all just part of the process. But if I'm the commissioner at this stage, push the button. 50 games is plenty. Because with the way they play it now, it's going to they're going to play 50 games in the time it takes to play 80.
Let me give you a couple Jeff Passan cuts to update you. Some people do think there was movement yesterday with this player's offer. Give me Passan one.
As somebody else earlier today told me, these are the offers that should have been made back in April, not in June. And yet here we are, the MLBPA offering 89 games, coming down from their 114 games, and looking still for the full prorated salary. And I feel like that's a really important thing to emphasize right now, Scott, because the more conversations I've had with players over the last week or so, the more I've come to understand that the full prorated salary is not the most important thing for them. It is more or less the only thing for them at this point. And I understand, listen, there are other issues. There's health and safety, and, you know, they have expanded playoffs that they can give to Major League Baseball as a carrot. But in the end, the players say, no matter how long the season is, we want our full pro rata.
Okay, full prorated salary, the only issue, which feels like they're not even negotiating for this year. They're just more worried about the precedent being set and how that sets up the next CBA, and it tells you that their focus is not on getting on the field this year.
It's right. It's clearly about the money, and I almost felt that was forced what Passan said after it, too. Like, oh, no, they care about the health and safety,
too. Oh, no, they don't. No, they don't.
They don't. It's about the money.
It's about the money. And look, again, here's the other part of this that bugs me, and I'm sorry to jump in, Mike. Okay, but when they made the deal back in March, when they made the deal, both sides agreed that if the stadiums were empty, they would talk again. It's in writing. It's in writing. And so why are the players now unwilling to do that? Like, they agreed in March that they would revisit the issue, and now they're not going to do it. Why? I'd be infuriated, and I'm not someone who typically wants to line up and defend ownership. But I just think the players are being so disingenuous on this, it isn't even funny.
They don't want a precedent of a give back, and that is nothing to do with playing baseball this year. And that's on them. How about this one? This one's coming down the pike, too. Again, the full prorated thing and the owners holding on. Say, well, fine, we'll just play a 50-game season, which means what? Give me number two, Jimmy.
One person called it a hill that they will die on. And if they die on that hill at 48 games, that means we're going to have a 48-game season as implemented by Major League Baseball. There's going to be a grievance by the Players Association for the league not playing its fullest season, and all of the labor animus that we've seen is only going to continue, not just in this offseason, Scott, but going forward when the collective bargaining agreement expires in 2021, the possibility of a lockout or a strike in 2020. Like, it gets really, really ugly, even uglier than it's been already, if we don't get a deal done at some point here and they come to that place in the middle and figure out a number of games that's not 48.
Okay, there we go. Full prorated salaries, no givebacks. That is a hill they are going to die on, which means the owners are then going to say, fine. The only way full prorated salaries make sense to us is if we play 48 games. Here's your 48-game season. Then the players file a grievance. Don't you think it's a great time for a grievance? Like, there's really nothing else going on. This is a perfect time for a salary grievance by the Major League Baseball Players Association, because Lord knows there's no other issues right now in our country or the world at large. So that's a great time for a grievance, which will then set up a lockout or a strike. How do you like them apples? Here comes the grievance, which has led even the most, Maz, let me just get this out. The most devoted, happy baseball people to be just about lose their minds. I was, you know, listening to the Touch and Rich podcast the other day, and Dan Roach was on yesterday. You hear Roachy yesterday?
He hung up on them. He was so mad, frustrated, he hung up on them.
Roachy was so pissed off at baseball, he hung up on Fred and Rich. But this is how he began his call. I think they just asked him, you know, Roachy, how you doing? This is what he said.
How frustrated are you? Because I was talking yesterday about how, you know...
I'm just fine, Rich. I'm fine. I'm loving this. I'm loving the fact that this
sport had an opportunity, wouldn't, with everything that's gone on in this world, wouldn't you just sit there and say, what makes sense the most? What's the one thing in a baseball, apple pie, Chevrolet, what's the one thing that makes sense in this world right now today? It would be to open up Major League Baseball on July 4th. Lead the way. Look at us. Here we go, America. Let's get together, the national pastime. Everyone gets involved and have some fun and lead the way out of the chute and know they're stuck in the mud. That's what's going on right now, Rich. That's how I feel about everything going on.
Poor Rochie's talking to himself.
He's broken.
He's a broken man. Well, so anyway, Maz, I know you have some more thoughts. We'll pick it up on the other side with your calls on everything here on Felger and Maz. Long commercial-free segment next. Felger and Maz.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for.
Boo! Boo.
It's Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
People look to you for hope. I know this is one of those times.
I got nothing for you today, Rich. All right.
He's right.
I love. Listen, it's true. It's true. And you know what?
Goodbye.
So again, we meant to play that, and then the promo came up at the same time, so the radio audience heard it twice. We wanted to play it for the simulcast audience. Rochie hanging up on Toucher and Rich. Rochie, not exactly the hang-up kind of guy, but that's what baseball's done to him. I know you had one more follow-up thought, Maz.
Yeah, I just, you know, that piece of sound was worth hearing twice, if you want to know the truth. But look, you mentioned the grievance. Grievance over what? Over what? They've been bickering back and forth. The last proposal by the players, just quickly, still includes the regular season spilling into the middle of October. And so it's like, well, wait a minute. First you told me that you didn't want to play because it was unsafe. Now you want to play into the middle of October and into November? Like, that's what you want to do? To me, I just... set the 50-game schedule and be done with it or blow the thing up. That's it. I'm done hearing about the bull crap from both sides. I'm done with it.
Why a grievance? Why not? It's baseball.
Fair enough.
Why not? I mean, what a dumpster fire to begin with.
Why play games when there's bitching to do?
Absolutely. Why sell yourself and engender yourself to a fan base when you could completely alienate them? Because you still think you're the cat's ass. You still think people really care about you as a sport. That's what they need more than anything. Oh, boy, do they need a reality check.
Big time.
They don't get it. They don't get it. No one really cares about your sport anymore. What it is something to do when there's nothing else going on. Do you get it yet? They don't. So that's what they need more than anything else. And I don't know if this will give it to them or not, but, well, here we are. Here we are. So you can add that to the list of things that we're talking about, which is mostly Patriots related. Again, not exactly breaking news, Brady Belichick, but we're going back there because The Athletic ran a poll that's turned our stomach. The Athletic asks their readers, is there someone to blame for Brady's departure? Like, even framing it that way pissed me off. Is there someone to blame? As opposed to, who do you blame? But they asked, is there someone to blame for Brady's departure? And 69% of their respondents, their readers, said, nope, no bad guy. It was just time to move on, which I think is so utterly preposterous. It's not even funny. It's ridiculous to say that was just meant to be. Tom Brady, still with winning football left in him, still at the top of the league, still contending for Super Bowls here in New England, ends up on the losingest franchise in sports, and that was just meant to be. Rob Gronkowski, the greatest tight end to ever play the game, quits on you, flat out quits. Refuses to play for Bill Belichick, then resurfaces a year later to join Tom Brady. on, again, the losingest franchise in sports, and that was just meant to be. That was all how it was meant to play out. Are you freaking soft? How soft are those athletic readers? You got to be kidding me. No, someone's responsible.
If you were to
pansies,
if you were to try to bring up those scenarios as like plausible this time last year, people would have tried to burn the building down.
If I said this is what's meant to be, you'd laugh us off the air more than you normally do. But that's how it turned out, and now you're like, nope, it was just meant to be. Time to move on. Oh, please. Oh, please.
Cockroach-infested Tampa. That's where the greatest quarterback of all time. It was fine. We all saw that coming.
Okay, so who do you blame? Here in the real world, at the adults' table, who do you blame? Mary in Sarasota. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, Mary.
Geez, Louise Maz, sorry to rain on your happy dance day, but it's Belichick. He never believed in the TB12 method. He brought in his long-lost son, Garoppolo, and he signed no long-term contract. What more do you need? Belichick, Belichick, Belichick.
Thank you, Mary. Excellent. Well said. Of course it's Belichick. Of course Belichick's to blame. I think he's made the right call, so it's not really like who you blame. It's who's responsible. You want a phrase to say who's responsible for Brady's departure? It's Bill Belichick. That's obvious, Maz.
Yeah, again, Brady is the one that asked for free agency and asked to have the franchise tag removed. So Brady, to me, is the one that wanted out. Brady couldn't tolerate the conditions anymore. The conditions were basically the same, and I'm not telling you he was wrong in the contract, and you can go back earlier on, but they could have left the power of the franchise tag in there. Brady didn't want it in there. Brady wanted out. Brady was done. His value system changed. Like, to me, I don't know any other way to put it. Brady, all along during this, like, you know, the people here want to give Brady credit for taking less for the betterment of the team. They always want to praise Brady for making the sacrifice. Then it gets to the end, and Brady doesn't want to make the sacrifice, and it's not his fault. Like, he set a pretty clear pattern of behavior over his first 19 years with the Patriots. At the end, he's the one who changed.
Why did he change? Why did he feel like he had to change? Because he was looking for just a little bit of give, just a little, from his taskmaster a-hole boss, and he was never going to get that.
But I think he changed as a person. Maz is right about that. But if they had put a two-year, $50 million guaranteed contract in front of him, he'd sign. He'd still be here through all of those.
Right, because the money became more important to him.
Through all those changes. Well, Bill didn't want to put that contract down in front of him. And you have to agree, 95, 98% of the coaches out there would have put that contract down there in front of him, but not Bill. So,
yeah, I'm not telling you that Bill is at 0%. I never said that. I'm just telling you that Brady is the one to me that was more responsible. Brady ultimately didn't want the relationship to go on anymore because he didn't want to put up with it.
From Mary in Sarasota to the real Mary in Manchester. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. Hi, guys. So I think Belichick's to blame because if he had given him that extension, he'd still be here today. But what I find particularly disappointing is that I always felt that if Brady had stayed, he would have been able to take Stidham under his wing a little bit and mentored him. And, you know, I think that he would realize that he was at the end of his career and that he wasn't a threat the way Garoppolo was. And I think that's a huge loss. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Okay. Maz, you have a thought on that?
Well, I just don't think Brady was necessarily going to give Stidham the time of day.
No quarterback was. That's not the way it works.
Yeah, to me, that is not solely the reason to keep Brady around. You keep Brady around because he's your best option. But I just think Brady got different at the end. He got different. And okay. Belichick is easy to blame because he's an a-hole. So a lot of these people, of course, are going to pick on Belichick because Brady's their little whoopee and it couldn't possibly be Tommy who's acting like a spoiled little brat. So, and that's what he was at the end. He was acting like a little diva.
I can accept that. I can because someone is to blame. This is not how it was meant to be, folks. You just can't possibly say that Tom Brady, not just the greatest of all time, maybe the greatest player in the history of team sports, one of them anyway, and one of the greatest football players of all time, not just that legacy, but still near the top of the league, still a top quarterback, still contending for Super Bowls, left you to go to the worst franchise in sports. And that was meant to be? Never mind his tight end buddy who flat out quit on you and then joined him there after skipping a year? Because he didn't want to play for Bill Belichick, and that's how it was meant to be, and there's no one responsible, there's no one to blame. What is the matter with you people? That poll turned my stomach, so we did our own. We'll give you our own polling results. We're after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.